verse 6, the sub part, being cursed by the sister. Rakshaha, a man eater. Abut became an apatyaha, without any son. Swakarmana, by his own sinful act. So translation by His Divine Grace, His Confined Acharya, Srila Abhacharana Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Can I get some water? Savakama had a son named Sudasa, whose son, known as Sudasa, was a husband of Damayanti. Sudasa is sometimes known as Mitrasaha or Kamasapada. Because of his own misdeed, Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vasistha to become a man eater, Akshasha. Please let's repeat. Savakama had a son named Sudasa. Whose son, known as Sudasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Sudasa is sometimes known as Mitrasaha or Kalmasapada. Because of his own misdeed, Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by the sister to become a man eater. Rakshasha. So there's no purpose. I go quickly to the next verse. I just read the English translation of the next verse. King Parikshit said, text 19. King Parikshit said, O Sukadeva Goswami, why did Vasistha, the spiritual master of Sudasa, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me. Again, no pop-ups, so I go to the next one. What is case of 18 to 21, right? Oh, that's a long way, okay. 21 to 22. Sukadeva Goswami said, once Sudasa went to live in the forest where he killed a man-eater, Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. One day, the king's spiritual master, Vasistha Muni, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cook served him human flesh. While examining the food, text 22. While examining the food given to him, Vasistha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Sudasa to become a man eater. 23 to 24. When Vasistha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa, not by the king, he took 12 years. He undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Sudasa took water and chanted the Sapa mantra, preparing to curse the sister. But his wife, Madayanti, forbade him to do so. When the king saw that the ten directions, the sky and the surface of the globe were full of living entities everywhere. 25. So dasa does acquire the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot, for which he was known as Kalmasarpada. Once King Kalmasarpada saw a Brahmin couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Text 26 to 27. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa and being very hungry, King Sudasa seized the Brahmin. Then the poor woman, the Brahmin's wife, said to the king, "O hero, you are not actually a man either. Rather, when you are among the descendants of Mara's Ishwaku, rather, you are among the descendants of Mara's Ishwaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madayanti. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please, therefore, return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me." Text 28. O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. Purport. Chilanarottam Das Thakur has sung Hari Hari Vifale Janayama Ganayin Manusya Janma Paya Radha Krishna na Bhaji Janiya Suniya Visha Kain. The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body one can understand the instructions of Krishna and attain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. I'm repeating that very sentence. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness. But because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes bodies one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, in this body, he can fulfill the four principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And if one is properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is the success of life. To stop the process of repeated birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. Mam 80. To be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Throughout human society, killing of human beings is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in slaughterhouses, and no one cares about them. But the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. Om Agyanat Miranda Siya Ginajanan Salaka Saksu Militam Jainatismai Siya Guravena Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutali Samadha Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinana Namaste Sarasati Deva Gaurabhani Pacharini Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Pachatya Pichitali Vanchakal Pataridya Chal Kripa Samadhiya Eva Chal Patitana Pavani Vashnavi. So, we'd like to thank all the devotees in Ramanreti, ISKCON Larcha, for the hospitality given to us, and we're very grateful. We hope that we're able to come again. So, there are two major track events in the series of these readings. The first track event is a warning to leaders. The warning to leaders is that We see in this incident how someone wanted to take a revenge and pretended to be very service-oriented. Pretended very expertly to be very serviceable, very service-oriented. And with that, he was able to infiltrate into a domain where he was not supposed to. People like, you know, people who are service-oriented. Especially when you're a big guy, you don't want to do anything. You want to engage, you want to have so many servants here and there, nannies, or whatever. But the readings we just passed through shows how Vasistha had cursed someone. But what was the fundamental principle? What was the underpinning? Someone pretended to be service-oriented, infiltrated a particular environment, studied the environment, and struck. This is nothing new. I've been to places in some countries where the government sends espionage people who spy to go into the temple, study the whole situation. There were some allegations about something a devotee did. They studied the whole situation and they tried to make some investigation from the devotees themselves, just in a bid to gather facts to be able to, you know, prosecute the institution. And espionage is something very common in, not only, this is just showing that it is not a modern day phenomenon. This has been going on. There's another example in the case of Diti and Indra. Diti got conceived, and the child in Diti's womb was supposed to be the person who was to come and destroy Indra. Indra knew, he perceived that by dint of his mystic powers, and immediately he pretended to be a very, very service-oriented nephew. So Indra infiltrated, pleaded with his aunt, "You're pregnant. I want to help to do some savor. I want to serve. I want to help to do some savor. I want to serve you." Diti didn't know anything about Indra's mindset. So he said, "So be it. So be it." But Indra's intention was just to be able to look out for any chance to destroy the child in Diti's womb. So again, that's another typical case of espionage in the Vedic literature. So sometimes we think that in the modern system of governance and criminal investigations or whatever, organizational leadership or whatever, is something new. No, these things are already been embedded in the Puranas. And most of the Western scholars who even develop all of these different disciplines, they have read the Vedic literature. They've read the Vedic literature. Even the person who detonated the atomic bomb, when the atomic bomb exploded, what did he say? He said, "Time, I am the destroyer of all." If he didn't read the Vedic, he didn't read the Bhagavad Gita, would he have gotten that information? I remember I used that very instance to give a Bhagavad Gita to the head of the department for ophthalmology and visual sciences at New Jersey Medical School. I had to undergo retina surgery, and the head of the department, he was the only PhD and MD. So he was the one to do my surgery, and I went there with some books. I was just thinking, but why will Krishna even bring me here? So I went with some books. So just after the surgery, I gave him, coming back, So after reading it, when the next appointment, he told me, "Oh, that book was wonderful." So I said, "But doctor, you've not seen anything. That is nothing." I said, "I have another book. That book is the author, the speaker is the actual person who Professor Oppenheimer uses words." In other words, I told him, even actually Professor Oppenheimer, he plagiarized Krishna. The actual speaker of those words, "Time, I am the destroyer of all. I have that book." I know what he said. He said, "I need it. I need that book." That's how I gave him the Bhagavad Gita. The next appointment, I just went there and I gave him Bhagavad Gita. He was so excited. So the point is, developments, it may be unpleasant, it may be a pleasant development, but we have to figure out the underpinnings. What is going on? Why do I learn from here? That is a good lesson for us to learn from here. Even the case of duty and Indra, they are good lesson for every devotee in this moment, especially those who are heading departments or those who are leaders. People come to us sometimes, especially when you're a leader. People come very close, but in most cases it's not with good intentions. In most cases, it's just to study your weak points, your loopholes, so that, you know, they could strike. We're not saying that we should not welcome people who come close, but we should be intelligent enough to understand that all that glitters is not gold. And especially we find situations whereby people become extremely humble. Too much, Prabhupada said, too much humility warns of a thief. We are not saying that we should not take cognizance of people who are humble and treat them nicely, but let's also understand, as an institution, as an organization, let's also understand that not everyone is simply happy with us. Like, our philosophy is very revolutionary. I remember I went to North Carolina Political Science Association to present a paper in 2005. And because, you know, in the US, you know, my guru mother told me that if you're going to the conferences, always appear like every other professor so that they don't begin to raise their eyebrows. But, you know, when I went to that conference, actually, although I put on a pants and went there, but I dressed very simple. And every other professor, you know, they have three-piece suit on, big tie, a big suitcase. So then, it came to our panel. After presenting my paper, the panel chairman was a renowned professor, a renowned TV host, a TV host. They know him in the whole of North Carolina as a political scientist. And so he was criticizing all of the presenters' papers. But so then I had it in mind that, oh, if he's criticizing his colleagues heavily like that, my case will be very heavy. So I was watching out. But after the presentation of my paper, you know what he said? What I expected from him was completely opposite. Rather, he said, "Oh, Vasudev, you see, look at all these professors. Everybody you see here comes with three-piece suit, a big tie, big suitcase. You came here very simple. And you sat there like a Buddha. But your paper is heavily loaded." And he told me, "You are a revolutionary." These were his words. In the open, he told me, "You are a revolutionary."
So whether you like it or not, the energy, people will catch up with it. The energy, people will catch up with it. Joe, recently, I was in D.C. So after offering boga to my Ogranishima Shilas, so the devotee that was, that is like my special assistant, he's a scientist in D.C., and at the same time, a lieutenant in the U.S. Army. So then, he was taking the prasad, the dry fruits I offered to Granishima. He said he's taking them to his colleagues, to some other scientists in the office. I said, "You're taking poison to those guys." He said, "This poison is very good for them." So, but then, you know what? When he went to the office, the first guy who came to his table to pick the prasad, he told me exactly the same words I used. The guy repeated it. He said, "Where did you get this poison?" So when he came back, he was scared. He said, "Maharaj, the exact words you used, my friend in the office, those were the exact words that guy used. That he is completely damn scared of playing around with Krishna." So what we're saying in essence is, whether we like it or not, people perceive the energies when you go to some place. And Krishna, if you are in doubt, Krishna may display it openly. And therefore, we have to understand that what has happened here in this very incident, in the reading here, is also applicable to us. Sometimes people come into a movement to study the situation just to use what they study against the movement. And therefore, there is a need for a call for us to be straightforward, to be principled, to follow what we preach. Because sometimes the people come, like in this case, look, someone went to accept the position of a cook. A cook can create and can destroy. That's what he tried to do to Vasistha. But Vasistha is, full of, mystic potencies. He was able to detect that. Oh, someone wants to kill me here. We are not flesh eaters. Or whether it is the flesh of animals, whether it is the flesh of or whatever, even eggs. And sometimes people accuse us that you say you don't eat, you're vegetarians, or you're not violent. You're not violent, but you are also eating the cow. Drinking cow milk. The vegans, they used to accuse us like that. I remember the other day someone sent me a mail on Facebook that why are people drinking cow? Cow milk. Why are people drinking cow milk? So sometimes people think that being a vegan is the goal of life. But we are not just vegetarians. We are cultivating what Prabhupada would refer to that we are Krishnatarians. In other words, we take only that which has been offered to Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna specifically mentions in the Gita, Patram Puspam Phalantoya, Yome Bhaktya Panach. He requested for simple things, but not the simplicity in the sense that he was not asking for simple items. He was asking for the greatest jewel, and that is our love. Because he mentioned, "Yo me bhakti." And so essentially, there should be a situation where we begin to appreciate somehow or the other that we should not abuse this human form of life. Just like Srila Narottam Das Thakur Prabhupada calls Narottam Das Thakur here, Hari Hari, Bifala Janama Gunaino. Manusya Janama Paya, Radha Krishna. If I don't worship Radha and Krishna, my life is useless. So here, Radha and Krishna, they are here, right here. They manifest here. Prabhupada Saraswati would say, I don't even need to go to any holy place. Here is my Lord is here. But we are not so advanced like Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, who would say, I'm not going to any holy place, no theater. The theater is right here. So, we have to take advantage of what Prabhupada has given to us. He's given us a clue to how to stop this repeated birth and death, samsara. If you read the third canto, where Kapila is explaining to his mother, Devahuti, the horrors, the troubles, the pains of being clutched in a womb for 9 months. Then we realize that these so-called birthday ceremonies people celebrate every day is not just an amazing thing. We pass through so much of suffering before we take human form of existence. And even after taking human form of existence, we pass through horrible situations in the womb. If you do that to someone, there'll be alarm all over the world as to abuse of fundamental human rights. But when we're locked up in the womb for 9 months, no one raised any alarm for abuse of fundamental human rights. No violation of human rights. But if we lock someone in a room, even for 1 hour, he will call the police. And so Prabhupada has given us the clue how to get out from this circle of birth and death. In the last purport here, it's just a clear explication that this human form of life is rare. After achieving this, we should maximize the utility. And for those who are so fortunate to be in a dam like Ramnareti, here you have Krishna coming to you, not you going to Krishna. So sometimes we don't know our fortune when we live in this type of place, that Krishna comes to us, instead of us to go to Krishna, Krishna comes to us. And so if Krishna comes to us, then we should welcome him. If you have a guest, you should welcome him. And just the process of welcoming the guest and serving the guest very nicely, Prabhupada mentioned here, we will terminate this acquiring one body after another. One body after another. So two major things in this series of the reading here, that we can use this human form of life to stop repeated birth and death. And how we do that? Just by taking to the process of Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu. And there are no, Prabhupada would say, no hard and fast rules. Just a matter of cultivating the habit, you imbibe the culture, and you become part of you. Very simple. And so, I will humbly beg all of you to take proper advantage of Krishna's presence here. When you have a guest, you should treat the guest nicely. Krishna is your guest. If you have a guest, you don't hide away from the guest. Krishna has come to you. Attend to him. Come and see him. I know in Delhi, you know, people come to Mangalarati with, you know, ties and suits on. Because after the Mangalarati Zoom, they're going out for their works. That is the idea when you have an opportunity to live near a temple.
So we should take advantage. Come and have darshan of the Lord before you go out for your daily activities. The material world, no one can be sure of anything. But we can be sure of Krishna. If we always remember Krishna, like Prabhupada Hari mentioned yesterday, not even a moment forgetting Krishna, we can be guaranteed we will capture that boy at the end of this life. The process seems very simple, but it's sure. We are guaranteed success if you follow it. And just like the process is very, the philosophy is very revolutionary. Again, everybody may not like us. And so instead of making in-house fighting, we should make in-house loving. Fighting amongst brothers doesn't pay, it destroys. Fighting amongst brothers gives the parents pain. And that's literally what we should understand and be able to see how we are cooperating to serve the Supreme Personality of God. And we don't lose anything by doing that. But if we don't follow what Prabhupada has given to us, we may have even good intentions for unity, for unified efforts, and it will most likely, there's a high probability, in fact the probability of achieving that so-called cooperation will be one infinity. In other words, most unlikely. If we don't put Krishna at the center, how do we put Krishna at the center? By calling on Krishna, to invoke Krishna every day in our individual lives. And so some people are already initiated. Keep your vows. And you can't keep your vows if you don't chant. There is no magic. No surgery will make that happen. Even plastic surgery won't allow it to happen. Plastic surgery will always change the external bearing. So it's a simple thing. We want to be free from birth and death. Follow what Prabhupada has given to us. If we follow what Prabhupada has given to us, things will become simplified. If we follow what Prabhupada has given to us, then others will emulate us. If we simply find fault with other people who are not following what Prabhupada has given to us, then we also eventually become, offenders. It's not that we should not be objective, but at the same time, first, they say, the physician, heal yourself. The first principle, if we have to be preachers, if we have to spread, look, people come here all the time. Yesterday I was having some discussion with one student from University of Florida when I went there to give the talk at the Krishna House. Now she came here, small girl, but she's doing her PhD. The other friend who came with her is also a small girl. If you see them on the road, maybe you may think maybe they've not even finished their first degree. They're doing PhD. They came here. I had a chat, a long discussion with that one. And there are a number of people who can just be attracted to this movement if we simply make ourselves available. Just by even going out to the street. I understood people are doing Hari Namir. You hold it tight because that is one sure way to attract people to Krishna consciousness. If devotees simply go out, people just seeing us, they'll be reminded of Krishna. And in that way, we are attracting them to come to the fold, to the big family, the big house which Prabhupada built, in which the whole world can live in. What do they do in that house, that big house? People have big, big houses in America. But in this Prabhupada's big house, what do they do? People, the residents of that house, they are being taught how to become free from repeated birth and death. By simple
methodology Prabhupada has given to us, a legacy that his own previous, the previous acharyas have laid down, a legacy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself inaugurated. So, there's no difficulty if we want to be free. Well, one may say, I like this material world, I don't want to be free from repeated birth and death. I like it here.
Remember, one girl sent me a note that, you know, one lady was being ejected from their community. I said, why? What is the problem? She said, she said she wants to marry the president, and then because of that, the president is checking her away. But, you know, no one,
Mahatma Gandhi, he checked his wife away one time. He said, you must leave this house now.
The wife was shivering. He was so serious, so desperate. So the wife left.
And after some time, that same night, someone was knocking on Gandhi's door. And at that time, he was already very furious, angry. He said, "Who is that?"
She didn't answer. She just kept knocking. So he came to open the door, and he saw the wife that he checked out, he ejected.
He said, "Why do you come here? I checked you out."
She said, I don't have any other place to go."
What did she say?
"I don't have any place to go."
That struck down Mahatma Gandhi. He opened the door wide open. He said, "Come."
What did he say?
He said, "Come." So if we behave like Mahatma Gandhi's wife, "I don't have any other place to go," then we will not rationalize why we have to leave the Krishna consciousness movement. It doesn't mean that we should be prisoners, but we should be objective. It doesn't mean that we should be unchaste. We should be chaste. You know, sometimes people figure out different ways on what to do with their lives, and they even leave the Prabhupada's movement. And the same people come back to try to create, so to wreak havoc on the society.
I as a person, I don't have any problem with anybody. But if someone, for instance, want to get married, why look for a woman that is already married? There are so many unmarried women out there.
So we have to protect Srila Prabhupada's movement. And do not unnecessarily allow people to infiltrate, to come and create or wreak havoc, create destruction, bewilder the people that are being cultivated in Krishna consciousness.
We're not just going to be liberalists, but we try to be devotees, to be Rupa Nungas, to be proper Nungas, by having in mind that this is my project.
If we think it is someone else's project, then we wouldn't care what happens to this movement.
So, there are so many small Indras and Sodasas who will try to infiltrate into Lord Chaitanya's camp just to, you know, plant seeds of dissonance and not seeds of unity. And so we again would like to appeal with all of you, especially the managers, that let's learn a lesson from this case and the case of Diti and Indra. Indra also did a similar thing. It doesn't mean that we should not be open, we should not be, you know, accommodating. But at the same time, we should be wary about people coming in on the basis of espionage just to explore and exploit situations for their own advantage. Because ISKCON is not different from Prabhupada. We should not allow people to exploit our Father's resources. ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's resource. And we are all part of that family. We are part of this family. And so it is essential for us to understand that Prabhupada has created, has built this house. We should take advantage to become extricated from the shackles of repeated birth and death. Because the human form of life is very real. Smarta vyat, satatam vishnu, vismarta vyat, na jatushit. The essence of it all is that at no time should we forget Krishna or Vishnu. The whole idea of sadhana bhakti is to come to the platform of smarta vyat, satatam vishnu, vismarta vyat, na jatushit. Not forgetting Krishna even for a moment. Always to remember Krishna. And we do that by cultivation. If we don't cultivate, we will not have crops grow for harvest during the harvest season. To be free from birth and death is a good deal, but we have to cultivate. To be weary of espionage, good deal, but we have to be imbued. We have to be imbued with wisdom. We don't have the power like Vasistha to curse people. Therefore, we should use our intelligence wisely to protect ourselves, to protect Prabhupada's movement from unnecessary infiltrations. Hare Krishna. And there's some comments, some questions on this point. Again, we'd like to thank you. I'll be leaving today. And, you know, I very much like the atmosphere, especially in the temple. Coming, chanting here in the temple actually gives me a lot of positive insight and devotional stimulation. So, everyone here could take advantage of this very temple. We have three presiding deities here, Sri Sridhara Samasunda, Sri Sridhara Krishna Balaram, and the magnanimous Lord, Sri Sri Gaurani Thai. So, we are blessed by the best here. Take advantage. Take advantage. Human form of life. Take advantage. We have deities here, take advantage. We have many, many Prabhupada disciples here. Take advantage. In most some temples in the world, they hardly will even see a Prabhupada disciple. So take advantage and don't think because you are very intelligent and now you came to the movement yesterday and you become wiser than everybody else and now you can abuse everybody else. This movement is a movement where we cultivate a culture of respect, a culture of respect for elders. Everyone who has met Prabhupada has a special potency. And so if we get close to them and try to be subservient to them, to serve them, we will tap something from them. So you are blessed in all angles. You have, you know, sadhus who have been with Prabhupada right here. You have deities. And you have people from all over the world who are visiting your community. You have a very big space here. You can do your japa walk and walk anywhere you want to. No noise in some of the, if you go right inside there. So we cannot complain. Krishna has given us everything. The facility is there. Krishna is there. Sadhus are there. We can't complain. What will be our complaint if we don't strive to follow Prabhupada's instructions and be ready to board the jet plane that will take us back home, back to God? Yes.
Thank you. I was thinking that there's some statement someplace that says even if an enemy comes to your house that you treat him so nicely he forgets you're his enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also noticing the condition of being in a third-class devotee's condition here is that my senses are always ready to plunder and be like the inside person. But even if someone comes with that mentality, like you're saying here, when the devotees are so nice and the Shastra classes are so wonderful, that even though they come with the wrong consciousness, because even the devotee in the mode of passion, he's looking for his interest instead of Krishna's interest primarily, the process itself works. So even when someone comes like that, in a while they get turned around. So I was just thinking of both sides like that, that even someone comes, you know, he's like Haridas Thakur. That was certainly a espionage idea with Mayadevi coming there to trick him. But he said he knew, but by the potency of his chanting, in 3 days she became a devotee too. So there's both sides of that.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point you raised, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Yeah, what I was saying is that it's not that we begin to, you know, to examine people. Is he a spy? So that compliment is pretty nice. Because, yeah, like I mentioned, if we become serious in our devotional service, then, you know, people who will come with intention of harming us, Krishna will turn them around positively. So your point is very correct. The point is, if we just strive to fulfill Prabhupada's desire, everything else will glow favorably. But if we begin to fight amongst ourselves, create so many subgroups in our communities, people who even come will become discouraged and they will take undue advantage of, you know, the weakness in the fabrics. Prabhupada mentioned, external forces will not break down this movement. It is the devotees inside who will make it or break it. Therefore, he called for unity amongst the devotees even before he left the planet. He said, if you want to show your love to me by cooperating. So it doesn't just mean to Prabhupada disciples, it means to all of us. And unnecessary segregation based on this is my guru and this is not my guru shouldn't be there, because we have the core, which is Prabhupada. Sometimes, you know, people are addicted to serving the spiritual master and they become offensive to every other sadhu. What Krishna mentions in the Padma Purana to Arjuna is that he said, those who claim to be my devotees, they are not. Those who are devotees of my devotees, they are the genuine devotees. So, thank you very much for that compliment. Yes. Important thing is that we should be very open to people, we should be nice. And when people come, if even they have bad intentions, they'll become purified by our devotional energy. Yes. Narahari.
I was thinking regarding espionage and what was done putting human flesh, disguising it as food. But we sort of do the same thing, but in the exact opposite. We're taking what seems like ordinary food, but we're offering it to the deities. And that becomes so potent spiritually. And then we go out and we distribute that to the conditioned souls. They have no idea really what they're eating. And when they take that prasadam in, it destroys their spiritual life. One time in Miami, sitting under the banyan tree, Srila Prabhupada looked out amongst all the devotees. And he said, you have all come because of prasadam. So that is our great transcendental espionage.
Sure. Thank you very much. Yeah, prasad is so powerful that, you know, when we go to the temple, I remember even the early times when I went to the temple, you know, the devotees, they were so nice. I remember the temple president himself came to serve prasad, and what I ate that day, I've not eaten it for the whole of my life. So I was attended again to go back the next Sunday. So yeah, prasadam is a powerful weapon. And like people who are even walking outside there. I know one doctor in North Carolina. She would just serve cookies to all of her, you know, fellow doctors. And then later, those doctors, they started coming to her house to watch, you know, Prabhupada speaking, on video, and Prabhupada's lectures on video. I mean, that's how gradually she cultivated a number of doctors in the office, through prasadam. So, it's a good point you raise, Narhari. Yes.
Seeing that we're talking about prasadam, we just had this Rath Yatra in Nashville, Tennessee, and they didn't have the crowd that they expected. It was pretty disappointing. They were expecting like 40,000 people. Well, they only had 20,000. And at this Rath Yatra, after the festival, the parade finished, they had kind of a separate, all the meal section. Everybody was selling on one side and the other stuff on the other. And they had many, many booths selling their meals and whatever, but the only one that had an endless line was the devotees line.
Okay.
Yeah, it never stops. We had myself and Tamahar Prabhu and my wife, we were waiting, well, okay, when the line eased up, then we'll go in. Well, it never stopped. And people coming to us, they're coming to us and ask, where is your food? I said, in that line. I said, with that long line? I said, yes, that's all we have. Everybody else, they were just going to walk right up, and our line were going and going and going and never stopped until everything ran out. So right. Something was attracting them.
Sure. Yeah, that's another good compliment to show that the power of prasadam can never be underestimated. And so that's why even we are embarking on all this food for life, because some people, they may not even appreciate our philosophy. They don't have even, you know, the philosophical mind. Nowadays, people don't even like to go and study philosophy. It's like a hardcore stuff. But then, if they take prasadam, they become purified. Whether they like it or not, they become purified. So, we have several ways to be able to spread Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy to all and sundry. And we just have to devise means of reaching out to the people with these powerful weapons that Prabhupada has given to us. All right. It's a minute past nine. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.